Dear faithful, the miracle of our Lord on this 15th Sunday after Pentecost is a little foreshadowing of his greatest miracle, his own resurrection from the dead, the crown and seal of our redemption. We see him coming into the little town of Nain with his disciples and followed by a large crowd. And there he's met by a widow, the body of her son who had just died being carried on a bier, and a sizable portion of the town's inhabitants accompanying them. Touched with pity, he reaches out. He touches the bier carrying the dead young man, and this dead young man is resurrected back to life. Now, there are multiple lessons here to take from this miracle. First, this resurrection was not asked of our Lord, as were the other supernatural favors which he performed, the healings and the healings of the centurion's servants. Also, our Lord wanted the knowledge of this miracle spread far and wide. That is why he saw to it that there were many witnesses to it, including his own disciples. He wanted it to be known by all that he has the power to bring the dead back to life. He began his public ministry with miracles slightly lesser than this one, such as bringing back to health those who had been on the verge of death. In this instance, he raises a truly dead man back to life. We thus see that he willed to increase faith in his divinity by gradual increments, since he knew that this would be most suited to our nature, we who have a hard time doing things all at once. This scene from the life of our Lord also carries a warning for each and every one of us, what is signified by the dead young man. His body is a symbol of the person whose soul is dead in mortal sin. Even though the body may be very much alive, a person in this state of mortal sin has lost something infinitely more important than mortal life, always bound to come to an end. But our Lord's merciful approach and resurrection of this dead young man is proof that he both desires and has the power to resurrect us from the death of sin to eternal life every time our repentance is sincere. But how is it that souls so often find themselves in need of this resurrection, that they find themselves spiritually dead in grave sin? A hint is contained in today's epistle, when St. Paul tells us to do the good while there is still time to do so. Contained in this admonition is a subtle but certain warning against the bad habit of procrastination, a defect springing from the vice of sloth. The vast majority of us are more or less slothful in the face of an effort that doesn't appeal to us. It's a vice usually associated with laziness, a desire to avoid all exertion. And what exactly are we talking about regarding sloth? It's a vice which has 3 degrees, each one being progressively more and more severe. The first degree is when we take up our tasks reluctantly or indifferently. Work such as this is usually followed by results of poor quality. The second degree refers to those individuals sometimes referred to as sluggards, to use a somewhat antiquated term. A sluggard is a man who does not absolutely refuse work, but postpones it and delays it indefinitely. But someone who is truly and thoroughly slothful wants to do nothing which might be in the least bit troublesome and has a sense of revulsion for all real work, whether mental or physical. The vice of sloth affects both our spiritual and our material temporal duties, causing us to say prayers in a hurry and with little devotion, and maybe ultimately omitting them altogether. Let us try to counter sloth by putting things back into the proper perspective. God made man for work. Reflect a moment on our first parents in the Garden of Eden, The book of Genesis tells us that the Lord placed Adam in the garden for the purpose of seeing to its proper upkeep. It's true that since the fall of Adam and Eve, labor has taken on the quality of being burdensome, of being toil. Nevertheless, it is a mistake to think that God's original plan for man was no more than a life of idleness and leisure. God meant for us to make productive use of our time from the very beginning of creation. It's not a matter of falling into the spirit of activism, abandoning our legitimate and necessary prayers or recreation or rest for a flurry of feverish activity which gradually kills the life of the soul and estranges us from our loved ones. No, it's not so much a matter of increasing the quantity as the quality of our works, to work with a greater and greater love. Keep in mind that the Latin root of the word diligence is diligo, diligere, to love. This is the way of the saints. If we make the effort to do everything, even the little things, especially the little things, with great love, after the teaching of Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, we can be assured that God will take care of the quantity. And the lives of the saints are, of course, the best example that God's grace can counter the effects of original sin and give us an enthusiastic zeal for exerting ourselves for God. A particularly wonderful example is the life of Saint Vincent de Paul, a saint whom all of us would do well to imitate. Consider, even just briefly, God's blessing on his works. Just a few examples among so many. By the time of his death, he was the director of 11 different seminaries. He organized retreats which served more than 20,000 souls. He founded multiple charitable associations for women, including the Religious Order of the Daughters of Charity. Thousands upon thousands of poor individuals had been aided by these various associations by the time of his death. He was also chaplain to the convicts of the galley ships who lived in utter misery, forced to row with heavy oars the ships of the royal fleet until the point of exhaustion. But his care for these poor men, being truly rooted and founded in charity, even these works, great as they were, represented only a small fraction of everything he accomplished over the course of his life and his priesthood. Saint Vincent de Paul was a saint whose the wide scope and the output of his work has rarely, if ever, been equaled. But as the saying goes, Rome was not built in a day. The first step is accepting God's grace and having the courage to begin without delay. Then we must continue generously. No one accomplishes as much as Saint Vincent de Paul unless they are willing to give without measure, to give without counting the cost, without which there is no true love of God and neighbor. So with the intercession of all the saints and of Saint Vincent de Paul, let us recommit this day, this moment, to doing the good while there is time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.